Breaking the Silence with Dr. Gregory Williams. Dr. Williams is the author of the acclaimed book, Shattered by the Darkness, Putting the Pieces Back Together After Child Abuse. Dr. Williams is on the senior leadership team at Baylor College of Medicine in Houston, Texas. And Dr. Williams travels the United States speaking and training professionals, parents, and victims about the importance of dealing with abuse and personal trauma head on and not being afraid to break the silence of your own personal pain. Feel free to call in to tonight's show at 888-627-6008 and speak with Dr. Williams and his guests live on air. And now, your host, Dr. Williams.
Well, good evening and welcome to Breaking the Silence. I'm Greg Williams and welcome to my home here in the heart of the medical center in Awesome, Houston, Texas. We're not in Austin. I wouldn't want to be in Austin. Nothing against Austin, but we are in Awesome, Houston, Texas. And it's kind of interesting with the first day of fall. Isn't it wild that just a few weeks ago, the sun wasn't even just starting to set? And now, just a few weeks later, wow, it's dark already, and you can't see the beautiful sunset anymore. But welcome to fall here in Texas, and we're looking for an awesome week ahead of us. I think the degrees are going to be about 10 degrees cooler than what it has been, so hopefully we'll move from the 90s into the upper 80s, which for us, that's a storm front of coolness. So we're looking for that blizzard weather coming up in the next coming week. So welcome to the program tonight. We are having not technical difficulties. Our guest tonight is having difficulties actually getting logged into the system, but we're going to just, I told TJ, hey, let's just go ahead and run with it. We'll have some faith and hopefully they'll connect while I'm doing the opening, and then we'll patch her in here shortly. I'm really looking forward to our guest tonight and the book that she wrote. And it's going to be, and I'm getting a text right now. It looks like that things are going well and she will be here shortly. First of all, if you want to get involved in the program, because I got a feeling some of her friends are on tonight, Mary Jo may be listening in tonight. So Mary Jo, feel free to call in if you have any scoop on the guest tonight, you're welcome to. But I love getting calls, and you can do that at 888-627-6008. And they will patch you right through to us and bring you on live into the program. Or you can get on the Facebook page right now, the Shattered by the Darkness Facebook page. And it looks like it is up and running. They're already getting some welcoming and thanks for joining us post on there. So you can do that. Or at our commercial break on the half hour at 8:30 Central Time, I will be checking my phone, 832-396-6525. You can call right now, don't call, but text right here if you have a question, a thought, because our guest tonight has a wide variety. She's not just an author. She is actually a professional counselor and a psychotherapist. So we have a lot of wisdom in the program tonight. So feel free to call in, text, or get on Facebook, whatever works for you. I had a great week this week with getting to meet so many awesome Houston, the city of Houston police officers. I did a three or four hour training with them this week, just a few miles down the road here at a advocacy center, and just had a great response. And I've had some wonderful opportunities to talk to some of those police officers one-on-one and just getting to know them and helping them with their issues. And there's so many things that happen in life today that get us all tangled up, get us all in the weeds emotionally. And there's so many different types of things and books and ideas and thoughts and processes. And maybe our guest tonight has some wonderful ways to be able to overcome some of that anxiety. But then the last couple of days, after having that awesome week, the last couple of days, my body's starting to do things. It's not cooperating like I want it to. And sometimes I'm way too honest on this program. But things aren't working with my legs and my arms that the way they ought to be. And that gets me all geared up. It gets my anxiety engine running a little higher than what I think it ought to. And first of all, and I know our guests may have better wisdom here, but anxiety is the body's response, natural response to real or perceived danger. So when I'm sitting here thinking, boy, maybe this is it. Maybe my legs are never going to come back. Maybe my right arm's never going to get the functionality that it really needs to get again. Feels like things are coming out of joint in my body with this strange disease that I have going on and floating around my veins. And every person deals with this type of anxiety once or another. At one time or another, you're going through that, and you can create some of those things that just are absolutely not real. So I'm sitting there thinking, I wonder if this is it. I wonder if I'll never be back 90% again. I wonder if this is the downward slide to the valley that I'm going to end up experiencing in the last months of my life. I don't know. But if your anxiety is sporadic and getting in the way of you focusing on task, here's some things that got me through a few hours ago, being really honest, okay? One is I need to question my thought pattern. I need to question, is what I'm thinking about, is what I'm worrying about, is what I'm overstressing about truth? Because it can take over your mind. One way to challenge your fears, and less the at least the best way I challenge mine, is to simply ask myself, is this really true? Where can I gain control with what's going on inside of my anxiety right now? Am I really going to shut down? Is this really it? No, that's not true. But my mind plays that game. It keeps going over, yeah, this is it, this is it, this is it, this is it. And I need to question that pattern and challenge that pattern that tomorrow is going to be a better day. That just getting to be able to be on the program tonight with y'all around the world and getting to hear an awesome guest is going to be able to make me feel better. And I'm going to bounce back out of this. There is still resilience inside of me. There is still strength inside of me. There is still the determination that this isn't it. I'm going to keep on keeping on no matter what. So I need to question my thought pattern. So if things are going out of control in your life right now, question what's going on in your life and then realize, is it really absolutely the truth, or are you manifesting some of that anxiety on yourself? Well, the sun's never going to come up. And let me be honest with you, this time of the year, when the sun goes down a little sooner, it's darker longer at nights during the fall and the winter months. Those can be more depressive times of the year. Don't get caught up in that. It's just a season. As surely as that sun went down tomorrow, it's going to come up. I promise you that. So don't focus on the darkness right now. Focus on what is going to come up on the sunset in the morning. Another one is to practice breathing. Now, I never did this before, but there's 20 thousand different ways to do this, but I sat right there this afternoon and did that breathing in. I call it 4-4-4. A lot of people call it 7-7-7. A lot of people call it 5-3-2, whatever. But whatever it takes, some way, just set and start breathing. Just slowly breathe in for 4 seconds, hold it, and then breathe out for 4 seconds. And do that for 4, 5 minutes. And immediately, your body will start shifting. And that heart rate that is elevated, that anxiety level that's elevated, you'd be shocked how much that really, really helps. Exercise, let me be honest with you, that's not the first one on my list, okay? I can't do it very much anymore. But getting up and walking, even when you can't walk very well, like today, I'm not walking very well. But get up and walk around the room. Get up and walk down the hallway in the situation that I'm in here. Walk down to the elevator and back, or whatever it takes. And then learn some grounding techniques. I journaled. I journaled, I don't know how much today, but I was just starting writing down all of my thoughts. And in that journaling, I start auditing myself of what I'm thinking, what I'm feeling, where I'm at, where I am emotionally, where I want to be, and then also in that, go through that sensation of trying to distract yourself in the 3-3-3 rule. Again, a lot of people have 5-4-3-2-1 rule, but if you need to, I went out on the balcony because I didn't want to go outside today, but go out there and listen for three different things to hear. And just focus. Now, here in the medical center in Houston, it's traffic, it's birds, it's the wind. It could be something going on across the street or a jackhammer or something down here at the medical center. But just focus. And what you're trying to do is trick your brain into shifting on what it is focused on to begin with. So just find three things and just listen to them. And then three things that you see, and focus on those things. And then three things that you can feel. If you're walking out in the park, you can reach down and feel a leaf. You can go up to a tree and feel the bark. Get all of the senses in your body to start being reconnected and activated. And you'll be shocked and pleasantly pleased with how the anxiety that was once up here will start ebbing away. I promise you that. Then distract yourself. Engage in a low stress activity. And believe you me, I was on this piano all afternoon, playing until it was begging for more, because that's the place where I can go and just beat that piano until it can't be beat anymore. Just, and that's one way to release my anxiety, or just listen to some music, pick up a book, do a hobby that you haven't got involved in lately, and get back to that. And then the last thing I just want to go, because I know our guest is on now, ready to talk. Self-audit yourself in a way. Find out what your body's doing, how it's reacting. Why do you think it's reacting? Why is it reacting at this time of the day, this time of the season, this time of the year? Is there an anniversary that gets you anxious around this time of the year? Is it a time of the day? Is it towards Christmas? Is it towards somebody's special birthday? Whatever it is, but audit that stuff out and journal. And then what helped me just a while ago is I took a nice long shower, but it wasn't a hot one. I turned the temperature to a cooler state, just to arouse my senses. It's kind of like throwing a glass of cold water on your face, just to get my energy up and my alertness up, and that helped. And I think I'm back to normal, which I've never been normal to begin with. But that was some of the things that helped me today as I was going through that anxiety cycle. Am I the only one? I don't know, but let's find out. We're going to welcome our guest in tonight. Diane Black is a licensed professional counselor, an advocate for the child's rights, which I just love that. And over the years, Diane has testified in dozens of abused court cases for children. She's treated hundreds of abused kids during her time in private practice as a psychotherapist. See, I told you there's going to be a lot of wisdom tonight. She has visited the Russian embassy twice, where she had the privilege of discussing the issues of Russian adoption with high-ranking diplomats. And later on, she was interviewed extensively by the Russian media and has become involved in an extreme child abuse case involving three children adopted from Russia. And this is where the story begins. And she eventually wrote a book that she's going to hold up here just in a second, let you see. I got it on Kindle and it's beautifully written. Dead Dog Road, a true story into the dark world of an abused child. You'll want to hear Diane. So I'm going to hush up and bring Diane Black into the program tonight. Diane, can you hear me this evening?
Okay.
Ah, you are live now. I can hear you.
Okay, I don't normally break in like this. Then what we're gonna do is I don't know how to fix your end. I'm just gonna have you, can you turn your phone on speaker? And then we'll have you on video like this, and then we'll have you talk through the phone lines on my end. Does that work for you?
How's that?
I think we can hear you. TJ, thank you, my friend. You're just awesome.
No problem. Sorry, I can't think of a better method right now. I don't know what's
thank
wrong with
you
her end.
Well, Diane, welcome to the
delay
program
on
tonight. And we'll
on
edit all that out before it goes into podcast. But live around the world tonight, there's millions of people saying, Greg, this is what you deserve.
the
But it's okay. It's all right. I'm not too excited. Welcome to the program tonight. Good to see you again.
Thank you. It's great to see you.
Is Mary Jo listening in tonight?
Georgette?
Georgette, yeah.
Probably.
Okay.
Hi,
Yeah,
Georgette.
that's Mary Jo. That was from, yeah. Georgette, that's right. Fantastic. Well, welcome to the program. Tell me, first of all, how long have you worked as a licensed counselor in the industry?
Since 2004.
2004. So you put in 20 years
Yes.
of that. And was it always in the area, Diane, with abuse and sexual predators and the aftermath of that?
That became my interest early on.
Okay. I also want to let the radio station know let's go take a commercial break. We'll go right on through. No reason for a break.
Okay.
So we're just going to go right on through to the top of the hour. Was there anything, Diane, that caused you or piqued your interest to have you lean in to that area of expertise that, from what I understand and have read about, you are really, really skillful at this?
What first motivated me to begin? I had a contract with Child Protective Services, and they sent me to residential treatment facilities to visit children and do psychosocial evaluations. And I was disturbed by the conditions of the facilities. One in particular was really deplorable. And so I felt like anyone could do better. And it kind of stayed on my mind for a few years. And then eventually I was able to put a home together for children.
Wow. Okay. And where was that located at when you was doing that?
It was in Austin, Texas. And I found an old hotel that had 16 bedrooms, 16
Wow.
and a half baths, and the community came together, adopted bedrooms, and by the time it took about a year, and it was gorgeous, really beautiful. Every child had their own bedroom, own bathroom, gorgeous hardwood floors, chandeliers, wonderful food. I mean, the chandeliers are It's just that that was the type of hotel it was.
Wow. Now, what got you, because it's something that I never even thought of in all of my life and all of my career. I think I will, let's see, visit Russia. Where in the world did you pull that out of your hat? And how did that happen and come about, Diane? That's huge.
Well, I didn't visit Russia. I visited the embassy
Okay.
in DC,
Oh, okay.
which actually technically is Russian territory,
Right.
but I've never been to Russia. But
Okay.
they informed me when I was there that I was on Russian territory.
Really?
Right. Well, I'll tell you how that came about. The three children I wrote about in the book were adopted from Russia. And I was, when I first saw them, the two girls told me everything was okay, but the boy who was 12 told me the truth. And he said he was being locked in a room with a bucket and a baby bed mattress on the floor that she sometimes drug out there, so he had to sleep on the floor. And very little food, table scraps, half a cup of water every other day. It was the most egregious circumstance of child abuse I had ever seen or heard. And so I thought, well, easy solution. I'm going to call CPS and they're going to take care of the situation, right? That's their job. It takes a lot of backstory to understand what actually happened. But I spent the weekend working on the evaluations because I thought they were waiting to turn those into the court to get the kids out of the house. Well, I ended up spending almost a year trying to get the kids out of there. I know it's hard to believe, but believe it or not, it happens a lot more than you would think.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, we have just in Texas a couple of kids, a couple of hundred kids who die every year, and about half of them are known to Child Protective Services. So we need some changes and we need some improvement with these agencies that are put into place to protect kids.
Right.
To the commissioner. I couldn't get anywhere with local people, so I kept climbing the ladder. And I ended up with the commissioner of Texas Department of Family Protective Services. And she told me she was very supportive. She said they need to be doing their jobs down there. And I'm telling all of the, some of the surprise things that are in the book, but I can't help it. So, it took 320 pages to tell the story. So these are just some, the twists and the turns in this, it's like you swear you're reading fiction. You can't
Yeah.
make this stuff up, though.
No, you can't. And I tell you, I think what we're going to do, because we're having a real hard echo coming back on what you're saying, so it's kind of difficult. We're going to take that commercial break. During that commercial break, Diane, if you could pick up your phone, talk to the radio station. TJ will tell you what we need to do to correct that sound problem. So at least with this last half hour, we will have better sound quality. Okay. So let's go ahead and take a
Yeah.
commercial break.
Okay.
We'll be right back, 888-627-6008. And we'll be back with Diane Black. And we're going to drill down a little bit more into this story. And you won't believe all the twists and turns that she's talking about. We'll be right back. Hang with us.
SEI Publishing that brought you the international bestsellers, A Child Called It, and the Chicken Soup for the Soul series, comes the latest book by Dr. Gregory Williams, Shattered by the Darkness. This book describes the horrific abuse that Dr. Williams suffered at the hands of his father for over 12 years, and the damaging effect of keeping everything silent about that abuse for 30 years. If you're looking for that book that you can't put down, then pick up a copy of Shattered by the Darkness by Dr. Gregory Williams at all Barnes & Noble stores, Amazon, and Books A Million. Now, back to Breaking the Silence with Dr. Gregory Williams.
We're back. Welcome back. And I tell you what, maybe we haven't figured out now. We don't know, but don't get excited about this. I do apologize. Technical difficulties. Live radio is some of the most awesome places to be in the world. So just thank you for that. Diane, in this story, when did you decide, after you experienced this, went through this, heard about it, investigated it, wrote all this stuff down and went through it, when did you decide, wait, this is a book?
Well, actually, there were various times over the course of probably 5 or 6 years.
Wow.
And I'd be in a situation, sometimes I'd have someone with me and we look at each other and say, this has to be a book because it's too crazy. A few times. And then, you know, actually, I mean, writing a book is no easy task.
No.
Obviously, you know, you wrote one. And so it took a lot of determination, and I had to go through all my notes, all the evidence I had. I had to make sure everything I said, I could prove it. And if there was something I kind of knew but was speculating about, it's not in there. I changed a lot of names, but if names were public record, I didn't. But if anything, you know how some child abuses are very, abuse books are very graphic. And this one has only the amount of abuse description I felt was necessary to make the story make sense. It's about a lot of other things. It has some layers. And actually, I discovered my love of writing. I really, I'm looking forward to writing another book now.
Yeah. When you decided, hey, there's a book in me, this is worth writing about. Number one, do you have a copy of the book in front of you? Hold that up. I want everybody to see the cover because it's absolutely beautiful. It has an eerie sense of intrigue, of mystery. Did you create that cover?
Actually, and I could talk for hours, but actually, I had one of the best designers in the country, if not in the world. I'm not going to say any names, did a cover for me. And I was waking up in the middle of the night thinking that that's not it. That is just not it. And so I found this photo that a guy in Poland did, and I got in touch with him. And the reason it's perfect is because I often had business clothes on, and the kids were running away. They were in the woods, especially the boy, and I would go out there to look for him. And so if you can see,
there's
a road, and you can see the woods, and you can see Wait,
Yeah, no,
sorry.
that's perfect right there.
Can see that I have business clothes on, although this is not me, obviously. But when I saw it, I just, that's it. I knew it.
Okay, let us inside for people that haven't bought it yet, like me. Dead Dog Road.
The reason for the name doesn't have anything to do with the story doesn't have anything to do with dogs. But these kids lived in the backwoods of a place called Caney Head. And there was a road that they had, there were people who bought dogs and they would dump the dogs, the injured fighting dogs on the road. And so some people started calling it Dead Dog
Dead
Road.
Dog Road.
Well, Dead Dog Road is a metaphor for the children because they were also abandoned and discarded and just left to their own defenses. And
Wow.
I really, really, not just me, lots of people thought one of them, at least one, especially the boy, he was a scapegoat, that he would end up dead. I really believe that. Either by suicide or murder. One of the two. Definitely.
In what city town is this closest to in Texas, if you can
Well,
tell us?
I can. It's the town is Silsbee, which is near Beaumont.
Yeah.
You probably Beaumont. Beaumont's near Houston. Do you know Raywood?
Yeah.
Okay. Raywood, some of the scenes in the story are in Houston, some are in Raywood, some are in Beaumont, Silsbee, and then some small towns in East Texas like Jasper, Kirbyville, Buena, Evadale, Rosevine, Hemphill, all up in those woods.
Wow. And
Yeah.
with this experience that you had with these children, what were some of the things that you've learned that maybe our area can sure do different that the ball was dropped on? And do you see this in your work over the years that, hey, there needs to be a different way of handling some cases? I mean, sometimes they do excellent work. I'm not knocking anybody, but
I
yeah.
know. There are a lot of social workers who really care.
Yes.
They do a good job, but the one of the big problems is the people who go to visit the children, the investigators, and their supervisor. The investigator reports to the supervisor. The supervisor makes the decision, having never met the children. And so some people, like in this case, some people are really good at deception. Now think about it. Okay, another thing that goes wrong is that they're given notice that someone's going to go to the house to investigate. So that gives them 2 or 3 days or a week or to make some changes. It also gives them a chance to threaten the children and to make sure that the children are not going to say anything for fear, because after they talk to the social worker leaves and they're left there with their abuser. Think about if a woman was raped by a man. I heard someone say something like this one time, and I thought that's perfect. And the police come and they talk to the woman, and she's terrified. So she says everything's fine because they're going to go away and leave her there. It's not so. I think the children need to be, when they have claims to make, they need to be separated out. And if the claims are credible, and it's not really that difficult to work out the truth in these situations. I mean, I can't imagine anyone going to the house that I went to and walking away thinking everything was okay.
But apparently it happened.
Well, honestly, I'll tell you, before I met the children and the adoptive father, I found out years later that abuse reports had been going in for 6 years. So that's another problem. Abuse reports were going in Raywood, and then they moved in the middle of the night, and they went to north of Silsbee, and there's no connection. Teachers called CPS until they took them out of school and homeschooled them. When the kids ran away, especially the boys' neighbors would take him in, feed him, hide him even. And the sheriff, who believed Child Protective Services or his deputies, would find the children and take them back repeatedly. So they learned to mistrust law enforcement, mistrust Child Protective Services. There was no one they could turn to. So everyone knew that I was the director of the children's home. So what happened was the neighbors would bring not the girls, I kind of digressed a little bit. They would bring the boy to me and leave him, and then they would come get him and take him back. So I felt really bad because I wanted to protect this kid desperately, and I was fearful for him. And one of the kids at the Roosevelt House and one of the child care specialists told me, I was not there when this happened, that when the adoptive father went to pick him up from the Roosevelt House, that he was so afraid that they could see his heart beating through his shirt. And one of the boys who'd made friends with him was just hysterical crying. So I thought, okay, well, I'm going to call CPS and I'm going to go talk to the supervisor and I'm going to explain to him the situation and how dire it was. And so I did that on Monday morning. And some of these, there are a lot of sub stories and they're just in the book, but he just, he was convinced that the kids were okay. So then I contacted his supervisor, who was convinced by him that the kids were okay. And then I called the head of the Texas Department of Family and Protective Services, and I told her what was going on. And she said, well, they better be doing their jobs down there. I'm going to open an investigation. She was all alarmed, and I felt supported by her. Well, the kids ran away yet again. It doesn't count. And I'm leaving so much out. But anyway, so when you need to stop, just tell
No,
me.
you're doing fine. You're doing fine.
So anyway, so I went to the, all three kids ran away, and a neighbor was hiding them in a house in the woods. They called me and they said, we can't keep them any longer. What do we do? And I said, I don't know. Because if I take them to the Roosevelt House, That's the first place they'll look. So the treatment director I worked with, well, actually, she was a nurse, and I brainstormed for hours. And we came up with the idea of going and picking the children up from the where they were being hidden and taking them directly to the commissioner, who is the head of the entire CPS in the state, because she's going to take care of it, right? Okay, so I'm going to tell another plot twist here. We get to Austin, and we meet her at a Chili's restaurant, and she brings two of her social workers. She assures me everything's going to be okay. I have two thick notebooks of documentation, even medical records, even records from a dentist saying that took place when he was temporarily removed one time, that he had a fractured jaw, broken teeth. The dentist, I talked to the dentist cried, and they sent this boy back. I even had someone who was going to do free dental work and implants, and it never happened because they took him back to the abusive home. It's almost you just can't believe it, but it's true. So anyway, so I'm sitting in Austin with the nurse and the three kids, and I'm talking to the commissioner, and the girls are talking to a social worker, and the boy's talking to a social worker. Their names are Lexi, Svetlana, and Anastasia. I heard Alexi tell the social worker from the booth behind me. I heard him talking about being locked up. I heard him talking about not being fed. I heard him talking about he was going to kill himself if he had to ever go back. And I'm thinking we're good, right? We're good. And then I hear him say, no one's going to want to read the book after this. They're going to think they know the whole story, but I don't care.
No, that's not the whole story. There's a lot of other things in here. Yeah,
This
go ahead.
is not the whole story because it takes, okay. And the reason I want people to read the book is because I feel like the story is important,
Yes.
because I feel like it supports our cause of child rights, helping kids, policy changes, all that. So anyway, I'm sitting there talking to the commissioner, having a glass of tea, and I hear Alexi behind me say, what are all those cops doing out there? And then the nurse walks over and she says, I think they've come all the way from Hardin County to get us. And I looked outside and there were like three cars, officers milling around. I said, no, they just have the same color uniforms and all that. Well, I'm going to cut through part of it. Chopping out a section. I'm in the parking lot with handcuffs being slapped on me. The kids are back in the abusive home. I get out of jail, which was horrible. It was my daughter's prom night,
Oh my.
and I was spent the night. Anyway, so the next day, I go home, and one of the board members of the children's home gave me the name of an attorney to contact. So I went to see him, and I was devastated, but I kept saying, at least the kids are okay, right? Because I saw them all walk out with the social workers. And everything he said, I just kept saying, at least the kids are okay. He said, you don't know, do you? And I said, no, what? And he said, even while you were sitting there talking to the commissioner, they were on their way to pick them up, the adoptive abusive people.
To take them back
And
home.
they were back again. And so then, well, the adoptive father was upset because Child Protective Services didn't take him and remove him. He did not want the boy. He told me he didn't want it. Other people heard him say it. I had him write a letter so I'd have proof. I do not want this boy in my home. But yet he remained. And I can't even, I mean, I hope you're going to read the book because I'm skipping a lot, Greg.
Well, I've read the book. Yeah.
Oh, you read the book. So
Oh,
you know.
yes.
Oh, so you know. Okay. So you know that I was scheduled to go to trial, and I was reading about cases of children, Russian children who'd been adopted, who were being, well, 20 of them had been killed as a result of abuse. And I saw a name. I can't think of it right now, Pavel Estakov. So I looked him up and I found a Wikipedia page, and part of it looked like formatted for a website. So I typed in there in English because the website was in Russian, obviously. And I just basically said, I've been trying to help these kids. They were adopted from Russia. I'm unable to obtain help from them, whatever. I said something simple. And I thought, well, nothing will ever come from that. Then the next day or two, I got a call from Sergey Chimarev. I'm slaughtering these names, I'm sure. But anyway, he and a Russian attorney and the consular from Houston, from the Russian consulate office, met me in Beaumont. I had met with one of them before, but anyway, so they met me in Beaumont. And after they talked to me, they were going to go to Austin. But they said they had talked to the sheriff's office, and the sheriff's office said I was arrested because I was pulled over on a traffic violation and had the children with me. And I said, well, no, that's not what happened at all. And by the time we finished our meeting, they decided not to even go to Austin. And then after that, I still had my court date, but I think, well, I was interviewed by Russian media for about 16 hours. And so all the, and no one here knew anything. Everything was quiet in the US. But in Russia, I was all over the news for a year, with someone, dubbing my voice, obviously. In the meantime, a neighbor took Alexei to Ohio, where he hid there for 2 years. And when he left, I told him when he turned 18 to get in touch with the Russian consulate in Houston, which he did. I mean, there's, so I was being followed, and that I had to leave the town, and it was difficult. What are some other synonyms? I mean, it's even hard to talk about.
Yeah. Well, tell you, we only have a minute or two. I do want to invite you back, Diane. I want to talk more about it. You have let a lot out of the bag from the book, but I want to let you know, hold the book back up. Folks, if you want one of those mystery, true story,
First
life,
time.
crime, story, this is an excellent read. Lift that book up. Dead Dog Road, A True Story into the Dark World of an Abused Child. And Diane Black. You can get that right now. I got it right on Kindle. And I like hard copies, but I wanted to make sure I had plenty of time because it is a long book. Excellently written. And Diane, if I can, I'm going to schedule probably this week to have you come back in the next few weeks. And I want to talk more about it because I want to pick your brain on some other things that you are a pro at, if that'd be all right.
It's very difficult to talk about, but I feel like it's important.
It is. It is.
So
Thank
many
you, Diane, for
wow.
sharing with us tonight. We will have you back soon. And Dead Dog Road. Make sure everybody picks that up tonight. And let's let it go from Amazon, from whatever level it is right now, all the way to number one. And you can do it right now by just calling and getting that done. Place that order before you go to bed tonight. Thank you so much, Diane. I appreciate it. We'll have you back soon.
Thank you so much.
Okay, take care. Thank you all. And like we always do each and every week, no matter what you're dealing with, no matter what you're going through, even adversity with technical problems in the radio station or the huge life-changing issues that Diane was talking about of being handcuffed and put in jail just because you care for children and trying to protect them and what the children were going through. But no matter what, no matter how and what road you're on, how dark it is behind you, the sun's coming up tomorrow. There's always, always hope. Never forget that. I'm going to try not to forget that. You too, okay? Have an awesome, awesome week. And we'll have Diane Black back very, very soon. God bless. We'll see you next week. Talk to you later. Good night.
Thank you for listening to Breaking the Silence with Dr. Gregory Williams. To contact Dr. Williams, dial 832-396-6525 or email him at shatteredbythedarkness@gmail.com. And don't forget to join us each Sunday night at 8 p.m. Central Time, 6 p.m. Pacific on BBS Radio Station 1. For the next episode of Breaking the Silence.